We should just make this season two, episode one. Howdy, it's Tuesday, April 8th, 2025, and this is episode 251 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
Math. Specifically the fact that I am not good at it. I guess that's not good. But last episode, I said that if we kept recording at the same pace, it would take 3,000 some odd days.
You said July 20th in some year, right?
Yeah, 3,408 days. From episode 250 to episode 500.
Mm-hmm.
But that's counting from episode 1, not episode 0. And 250 would effectively be episode 0. Mm-hmm. So it's 3,408 days from now.
Oh. So we'll be in August?
Yeah. Sometime in early August.
We got to pick up the pace, man. We need to do it on my birthday. Episode 500 on my birthday. That's what I demand.
I think that's a good plan.
In whatever year it was going to be. 9 years from now? 10 years? Yeah, nine.
Yeah, between 9 and 10. A podcast that I listened to posted that they're moving their publishing days to Monday instead of Thursday because they have a bunch of data saying that if you post earlier in the week, you get like a longer tail on the listens and you get more listens. And I got stressed out about it for like 5 minutes because I almost always post on like a Friday or a Saturday.
Friday night. Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, it doesn't actually make any difference to me how many listeners we get per episode. This isn't monetized in any way, shape, or form.
Yep. And that's always a good message to put out. That's what the people like to hear.
Hey, listeners, you know what I don't care about? Yeah. Please keep listening.
Great. What's good, Craig?
Yeah. I mean, I could wait until Monday to post this, but that's 6 days away.
No. I think you should post it as soon as you're done editing. I think it's fine.
Which, coincidentally, will be Monday, April 14th.
I mean, there's a world where if we're consistent enough to, like, have a regular posting day, it's probably is of some benefit to stick to it, but we just don't record regularly enough, I think, for that, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're generally every 2 weeks. It's just not consistent if it's early in the week, late in the week.
Every 2 weeks-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 1.5, sometimes it's 2.5, yeah. Who knows?
We have an always, once, never here.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired by some news.
Do you want to do the news first and then go into the always, once, never? I think that makes more sense.
Yeah, let's do it. So the news is that Golden Nugget has announced a weekly seafood buffet, Fridays only, 3 to 9 p.m. starting May 2nd. How psyched are you for a Friday night seafood buffet?
I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone, but the Golden Nugget Seafood Buffet would make me a little bit nervous, just as the massive outdoor seafood buffet outside of the Showboat also gave me a bit of a weird feeling.
I'll say my aspersions at both are the same, which is if you have a buffet, I think I'm not a restaurateur. The main factor influencing the food quality is probably turnover, just like a pizza place. You don't want all your slices sitting there, and you definitely don't want your shrimp and fish.
Agreed.
Sitting out for hours. You need to get that out. And I'm sure, you know, all of that's like operations management, right? Like you're figuring out how much to cook at a time.
Well, that's probably why they've decided to do this for one day a week when they think it'll be the most busy.
Yeah.
Partially. I mean, also the fact that it would be the most busy makes it the most profitable too. But I think it's probably part of it.
Yeah, so I'm nervous about, because I know Golden Nugget is not the most heavily trafficked casino in Atlantic City, much like the volleyball courts next to the Showboat. It's not the most hopping restaurant space in the city.
I take it back. I would much rather eat at the Golden Nugget Seafood Buffet than the volleyball courts.
1,000%. I think this is cheaper than the one by the Showboat.
It's way cheaper, I think. I think that one's like 65 or something. It was high.
It was over 60, I'm fairly sure. So this is $49.99 per person. If you want to add crab legs, which I can't speak to that for the Showboat one, I don't know. Maybe they were included. It's an additional $10 per pound.
Oh, that's got to drive the olds crazy. They want their crab legs included.
Exactly. So that's what I was going to say. Every 2 weeks or so, there's a post in the Facebook group that says, where can I find a buffet with crab legs? And I don't think they really exist anymore in Atlantic City. Certainly not included.
I do remember the old days. when I was a child. And like every buffet had a crab legs.
Yeah. I don't remember buffet crab legs, but I remember going to Captain Jerry's right by your house, which I don't even know what it is now.
That doesn't exist, surely, because I've never heard of it.
No. It's been gone forever. It was right by the bowling alley, which also closed. And they had all-you-can-eat crab legs. And that was a good time for everybody.
If it's the bowling alley I'm thinking of, that actually just recently closed a couple years ago.
But... Correct, yes. That bowling alley very recently closed. Mm-hmm. The Shane sandwich shop in the parking lot just closed.
That's also closed. Yeah, it's a pupuseria now,
and
I think.
So the Captain Jerry's is a little structure. Why are we talking about this on the podcast? Nobody cares.
People care about Laurel, Maryland.
It was the little structure in the parking lot with a big circle logo on top of it.
That whole shopping center is a little bit rundown. I get pizza there every Monday because they got buy one, get one.
Is the pizza store what used to be Captain Jerry?
Maybe. No, it's not a standalone. It's in the strip mall.
All right. So segueing directly from Laurel, Maryland segueing from the Golden Nugget Seafood Buffet into our Always Once Never, the topic is buffets. And I'm trying with Always Once Never to have them somewhat relevant to the episode. And so for this one, I've got breakfast, dinner, or seafood.
Okay. So by the way, if you guys have Always Once Nevers, please send them in to us if you want the segment to stay around. But in terms of this specific one, which I think is a good one, for me personally, I don't want to go to a breakfast buffet. Like, what's that do for me? In breakfast, I don't need like this humongous selection of a billion things or whatever.
All carbs, baby.
I would rather do dinner or seafood. I mean, I think if it's a high-quality buffet, like, seafood's got to be the winner, right?
If price is equal, sure, but typically the breakfast buffet is significantly cheaper.
I mean, I remember 10 years ago when you all went to the Wynn brunch buffet or whatever, yeah. And it was like $60 a person in 2012, and I was like, Jesus Christ.
I think it was 50, yeah. Now that doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, now it's like, oh yeah, of course, because it's the Las Vegas Strip. But back then, it struck me as like outrageous.
Yeah.
We did the breakfast buffet when we stayed in Cosmo, and that was pretty good.
That was good. Mm-hmm. I like breakfast buffets. I would probably go breakfast buffet always.
I just would rather go to Gilchrist, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. We don't even have these options, so it's very hypothetical.
Right. Nowhere has a breakfast buffet in Atlantic City, right?
Not that I know of. I'm pretty sure like Borgata's buffet doesn't open until later. My thing with the breakfast buffet is you eat a ton of food and then you don't need lunch. You can just skip lunch and go to dinner. If I eat a ton of food at dinner, then I just don't feel good for the rest of the night. The argument, I guess, for the dinner buffet or the seafood buffet is that you need to eat less food to get your bang for your buck, even if it's like $80. If you're paying 40 or even 30 for a breakfast buffet, that's a lot of pancakes that you've got.
Right.
And like, sausage links.
And I don't even like eating most breakfast food all that much. For me, breakfast buffet is going in the ocean.
See, I really love pastries.
I mean, like, it's fine. So if it's a very low quality buffet, breakfast buffet is fine. Like, I've stayed at many Hampton Inns or whatever, and like, they're offering you get like cereal and like a couple danishes and some sort of like pancake maker and like a bowl of soggy bacon.
Yeah.
Fine. Totally acceptable. You know, that's like for the specific 2 out of 10 quality area, I guess. If you want something a bit better, like I would much rather have dinner or seafood.
I'll counter with this, that you're thinking of breakfast in terms of like a really good breakfast is not significantly better than the shitty Hampton Inn Continental breakfast.
Yeah, I think it's pretty marginal. I will agree with what you're saying.
I think if you get like a good waffle bar, I really like pastries.
Yeah, I'm not a sweets person that much, really. And breakfast, it's like half sweets, I feel like.
Right, so I would just gorge myself on fancy danishes and stuff. I mean, I'll eat the cheap prepackaged Otis Spunkmeyer muffins and like stuff at the Marriott. But I would rather have very well-crafted, nice danishes and cinnamon rolls and like a good waffle station with multiple things to put on.
Yeah, but you can just get that without spending any time by going to the Borgata Baking Company and just getting one. That's the thing. Like, you can have this high quality breakfast food you say that you want with zero time expenditure. Unlike nice dinner, like to get a nice dinner not at a buffet, you have to like go and like sit down for an hour and a half and like twiddle your thumbs, and it's a much bigger outlay of time.
I think that the time could be time well spent. I think it could be a nice time. Whereas I think you see meals as just, you know, a thing that is taking time away, not a thing that is a use of time.
Yeah, exactly.
A good use of time. So anyways, what's your always, once, never?
I mean, again, this is assuming that these are high quality buffets, of which they don't exist probably. And it, like, I mean, I don't know, but for all I know, the Borgata Buffet or the Hard Rock Buffet are perfectly edible. I haven't been to either one, at least in a very long time. Let's assume that the seafood buffet is fantastic, and we'll say seafood always, dinner once more, and breakfast never again.
I'm going very opposite for you. I'm going breakfast always.
Mm-hmm.
Seafood once more, just probably cause, just because we talked about the Golden Nugget seafood buffet, and I don't ever need a dinner buffet.
Yeah.
Into the ocean.
Yeah.
Which basically throws every Atlantic City buffet, yeah, except for this Golden Nugget seafood buffet, into
That's true.
The ocean. I was originally trying to figure out how to incorporate, like, lounges or something, but I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically a buffet. Like, the Amphora Lounge is a buffet, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come and serve it to you, but I think.
Oh, yeah.
Can you go up with your plate? I can't even remember.
You used to, certainly before COVID. They might have changed it during COVID and not gone back to the buffet. Are we going to go to the Golden Nugget Seafood Buffet?
I'd try it.
I would try, too.
It would mean being there on a Friday night.
I wonder if they will comp me to seafood buffets. Probably not. That's kind of a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot. That would be like $100 of seafood buffet.
Oh, it would be.
It would have a big asterisk saying, does not include crab legs.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I would understand. I guess one last piece of news before we get to our trip report, which we did indeed take a trip to Atlantic City and could talk about a new breakfast place that we ate there. The aquarium. It actually opened on March 24th, so you can put $5 officially into my column if you couldn't before because it was indeed past the date.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know how the contract was written. Maybe if it never opened, you would never actually have to pay me money because...
Good point. I mean, I think that you once you go over...
Yeah, I would think so too. But, you know, you need to read the contracts carefully.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, any thoughts on the aquarium being open? I don't have much. I had fun with the kids when I went 5 years ago.
I'll check it out next time I go with the kids.
Hmm?
If it's still open.
We should do a kids trip.
We should. They would like that. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. Stay at the ocean. Go to the water park.
We'll get some nasty grams. I feel like anytime I mention even, like, possibly bringing the kids to Atlantic City, even, you know, the time that we stayed and only did things at Showboat and the Boardwalk Hall, I still got people like, oh, Atlantic City's not for kids. I guess that's why they have Disney on Ice there.
Right.
Anyways.
You should tell them about kids in business class next and see what kind of response you get.
Oh, do people not like that?
Oh, boy. Don't get me started on the people's feelings about that.
I've never been in business class, so I can't judge. I hope there are nothing but kids in business class. I hope there are nothing but crying babies in business class is what I hope.
The people have strong feelings.
I believe that.
Yeah.
So we went on a trip to Atlantic City. It was less than 24 hours.
We did. A good trip.
We did some different stuff. You were in a Bally's Tower renovated room. Finally stayed at Bally's.
Finally stayed at Bally's.
What did you
First
think?
Time in the Bally's Tower for, I can't imagine how long it's been. So we recorded a podcast episode in a Bally's Tower room, I remember, but I think that was your Bally's Tower room.
That sounds right.
I don't know the last time I stayed in the Bally's Tower. It probably was like 15 years ago. It was nice. It was very nice. You went up there. We watched at least the first three quarters of the Maryland game there. I thought it was like very nicely renovated. I thought it was a really nice room.
I thought it was a very nice room. I was very surprised. I was expecting sort of a paint job.
Yeah.
Carpet change kind of a job on the renovation. They did an excellent job, I will say. They did a very good job on the room.
I think I told you when we were there, it reminded me a bit of when I stayed, or maybe we both stayed in Golden Nugget in like a newly renovated room there, which I also thought was very nice, like surprisingly nice for the idea that I had in my head of the caliber of the casino that it was.
Right. I was in the Claridge, which I thought was fine. It was still, you know, it feels very old in there. The hallways feel very old.
Uh-huh.
The room itself was a room. Like, I don't know, it wasn't as beat up as the Chelsea Tower. It does feel old, even though it's got newer furniture than the last time we stayed in the Claridge Tower pre-podcast.
It was much better than the last time we stayed in the Claridge Tower room. But it was extremely old. I mean, like some of the finishings and stuff reminded me of the Chelsea Tower.
Yeah.
Without the downsides of the Chelsea Tower.
Yeah, like no water spots on the ceiling. It felt clean.
Yeah. It's not like every time someone closed the door that the tower was going to fall down.
Right. So it was a fine room. The bed, I would say, was not the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on. You know, for whatever I paid for it, $40. It was pretty good. $69 after taxes and fees. So, you know, for a summer weekday or something where if I can't get comps anywhere, I could see checking Claridge. But I don't think I would go with my family and stay at Claridge.
No. Yeah, definitely not. I think it's like totally fine if you're someone who's by yourself. And
yeah. One weird thing about the Claridge is you just get this vibe, especially if you do the walk from Bally's lobby through the walkway to Claridge. Like, you go by this arcade that's always empty, but open.
Yep, but open somehow.
You can go to the elevators without ever going to the lobby, or you can cut through and go down to the lobby. And, like, there's no one ever in the lobby except for, like, a worker with his AirPods in listening to music who can barely even be bothered to check you in. As I went to bed, I was like, oh, I could really go for, like, some Reese's Cups out of this vending machine. And it's, like, a cashless vending machine, but then the card reader thing was offline.
Oh, I'll have to say about Bally's, when I don't know if you remember, but I left to check out the vending machine because I was thirsty, and the card reader was also not working there. It wasn't offline, it just wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So, and yes, it did not take cash at all. So,
but yeah, I mean, everything about the Claridge experience sort of oddly felt like no one ever goes there. Except for the view, I mean, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Because, it was quite crowded, surprisingly so.
Well, why don't we just jump to the view? We went to the view in the evening. Mm-hmm. The top of Claridge.
That's probably what, like 6 o'clock when we went or something?
Yeah, and the elevator wasn't going all the way up to the view, so you had to walk up two flights of stairs.
Yeah, it wasn't broken. It was that they were doing renovations on the elevator area at the view, so you had to walk up from the full floor below or whatever.
Yeah, so as we are like getting into this stairwell and having not seen a soul in the Claridge, we were like, this place is going to be so empty. There's 0% chance. And then we get up there and there's like 15 other people in there, and the bar is pretty crowded. And yeah, it was surprising.
Bunch of people. The drinks were ridiculously cheap, as I recall.
Yeah, happy hour drinks, very cheap. Very, very enthusiastic bartender. He was funny.
Yeah, he was very into his job, I think.
Yeah. Although I will say we ordered nachos and got chips and salsa.
They were good.
They were good, like very hot chips. They probably just threw in the toaster oven or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, what, $4 for chips and salsa? And
yeah, my beer was
drinks.
Two, I think, because it was a keg they were trying to tap.
Oh, yes, you're right. It was the cold snap.
It was cold snap. Yeah, cold snap. And they're like, we need to get rid of this keg, so it's $2 until it's tapped. And I was like, yes, please.
Yeah, and I got some sort of old fashioned, I think, that was, I don't know, $10. Like, stuff was pretty reasonable.
I think the happy hour, there was some $3 drinks, but be for them trying to get rid of this keg, it was two until it was empty.
Yeah, I'd say sitting at the bar when it's still light out and you can see and get some of the view from the bar was actually really cool. I know we were kind of down on the view before.
Admire the Bally's Tower and all of its splendor.
I'll say that you were 100% right the last time we talked about the view, about the hockey boards obscuring the view.
Oh, that's really ugly. Yeah.
Like, they have plexiglass that's just really dirty over the fencing. I mean, it's shorter than you are, so you can see over it. But if you're just, like, sitting at the bar stools and looking out to either side, it definitely blocks the view a bit. So you were correct about that. So that was our view experience.
Totally fine. Would do again.
When we first got to AC and checked in, which, by the way, no charge for early check-in.
We both were able to check in early. Same thing with Bally's.
So we were both in our rooms by one, right?
By one, yeah.
Yeah, which was nice. We went to King's Pub after we checked in, dropped our bags, walked out to King's Pub. You got a wing basket, right?
Yep.
We were making the note that the wing flavors names don't seem to align with the hotness level.
So I got the Dragon's Breath wings, which is apparently medium, and like the King's Pub wings are the hottest, which I'm like, that sounds weird. This should be the opposite, right?
Yeah, like, but the signature wings are like the
signature,
hottest wings.
Yeah.
I got the short rib melt. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was amazing. The fries were very good. Got a beer. You got your Miller Lite in a Flyers cup again.
No, I didn't. I got Sam Adams Seasonal, which was $3.
In a Flyers cup, though.
Your cup was the Flyers cup. I had it in, like, a Yingling cup. Yeah.
Anyways, neither of us were angry about it. And then we went to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall to check it out.
Yep. I will say my wings at King's Pub were only okay, I think. Mm. So, I mean, it was also dirt cheap, so it was fine.
It was very cheap, yeah.
I enjoyed the short rib sandwich a lot more than I enjoyed the wings, so.
I would go back and try some different stuff.
Yep, I would try some different stuff as well. And like I said, the lunch menu is very inexpensive, and all day happy hour also makes for inexpensive beer. It's not all day, I guess, but it's, what, 12 to 5 or something?
Yeah, I don't know. They also had a chalkboard with a bunch of specials on it that looked good that we didn't try.
Yep.
Then we went to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall.
Uh-huh.
Sat down, got a beer and a pretzel.
Yep.
The owner, Mark Colazzo, was there, seemingly doing a bunch of business because they're As far as I can tell, they have not changed anything about the interior or exterior of Tennessee Avenue Brew Hall when they closed in January. I think what they did is overhaul the menu, and then they're also doing a bunch of work with the restaurants next door. So I'm guessing that's what all the activity in Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall was.
Do we want to talk about that? I know you wanted to save it for next episode, but we may as well say it since we're talking about Mark Colazzo, that Cuzzies and Rhythm and Spirits are closed and are going to be replaced by new restaurants, which is what we assume Mark Colazzo was talking to people about.
I'll say my thought about that is it makes sense, I think, because when Rhythm and Spirits opened, there were not very many places to get good cocktails in Atlantic City. You know, Orange Loop wasn't all that formed, so there wasn't, you know, Cardinal and places like that. So places to go get a good cocktail and a good meal outside of a casino, but still very close to the casinos, it was kind of like Chef Bola, Knife and Fork, Docks, those kind of places. And so adding a place like that that was an easy walk, I think, was a big deal. And now I feel like there are quite a few places that are good to go get cocktails, like Angeloni's Club Madrid, Cardinal, other places that are I would certainly choose to go to over Rhythm and Spirits. So I think Rhythm and Spirits kind of just like reached its natural end in my mind. I think it's probably a good thing to replace both of these things. I'm not sure what the things that are going in are, but I'll get that information for next episode.
Yeah, so I've never actually been to either. Rhythm and Spirits isn't really my thing, I think. And Cuzzies, I feel like I was in the mood for a slice of pizza a few times, but it seemed like every time I looked, it was closed like an abnormally high amount of the time. And it's just like, okay.
I mean, it was good when I went. So the chocolate place seems like it's going to be unaffected, and Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall is going to be unaffected. But Rhythm and Spirits and Cuzzies Pizza will be replaced by something new. The big thing is that when they first opened Rhythm and Spirits, the idea was that it was moving the Iron Room, which was a very popular restaurant out by Baderfield, and they were going to plop it over here closer to the boardwalk. And they sort of tried a concept where I think like dinner at Rhythm Spirits was the quote-unquote Iron Room menu. So I went with my brother at one point, and it was fine, but it wasn't quite the same experience as the old Iron Room. So, like, the loss of the Iron Room for this was, I felt like, a slight downgrade. But I'm happy to see them, you know, continually evolving the space and doing what they're going to do. Anyways,
yeah,
back to our trip, which involved neither of these places, but did involve Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. I have no idea what's going on up there. Birds, I think.
Probably. Very interesting. Yeah, by the way, Craig got a new dog, so sorry if you hear some barking in the background.
Howling.
So I guess after Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall, which I have to say, like, we ended up getting a couple beers. I don't know what I got, but it was very fancy compared to the Sam Adams that I was drinking for the rest of the trip, and quite good. We ended up getting another beer for free because she poured it by accident, I guess.
Yeah.
And our pretzel was good, too.
It was good.
Yeah. We just went back to Bally's for a while. I think we gambled for a little bit, which we can talk about maybe the gambling at the end. And then we went to Park Place Prime for another happy hour.
Yeah, so I wanted to see a little bit of the Orioles game. I wandered over to the sportsbook at Bally's while you were gambling, and I basically just stood outside and watched like half an inning of the Orioles game. The sportsbook at Bally's was so incredibly dead. It was baseball opening day, and it was the Sweet 16, the Thursday of the Sweet 16,
right?
Which the Sweet 16 games hadn't started yet. But I figured for baseball opening day, there would be a decent crowd. There was not. There's no video poker at the Bally's Sportsbook, which if there was, I probably would have sat and played some video poker, which we'll talk a little bit about the video poker options at Bally's when we get to the gambling part. But yeah, we went to Park Place Prime after that, the renovated former Guy's Chop House space. I thought the space was very nice. Like, I think they did a great job with the renovation. It feels very upscale. The view is excellent. We sat at the bar. The bar area is super nice. The happy hour included $10 cocktails, $2 oysters. We got some $6 little crispy tacos, tuna tacos that were very small but very good. I think $6.
$6 is a bit much. They're really, really small.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you'd need to eat like six of them for a meal, and that would be $36. That's a lot.
I thought Park Place Prime was, it was very nice. It was nicely done. Like, it was a pleasant place to be. I thought the food was all good. I mean, it's obviously not as cheap as happy hour at King's Pub or The View or whatever.
Yeah, but significantly more upscale.
Right.
And the $10, I got a $10 Manhattan. I thought the Manhattan was very good. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. And the bartender was nice.
Yeah.
So cool option at Bally's because it feels like it doesn't fit the vibe of the rest of the casino.
Right.
But yeah, it was good.
And if you are like me and happen to have a dining credit, it's a good place to use it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I forgot. You did use the dining credit there.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about The View, which was our next stop after that.
Yep. So I guess beyond the gambling, this is when you came up to my room and watched a bit of the Maryland game. I watched the whole game up there. You ended up leaving halfway through the second half when it was clear what the outcome was going
to
be.
Well, we did at one point walk over to the Caesars Sportsbook and watched, I think, a few minutes of the first half there, except they were like checking people in. I don't know if you had to
pay or make an appointment.
Make a bet or pay or what the deal was, but there was like not many people actually sitting in the sportsbook.
No one was there
watching
Sweet 16 for opening day in Sweet 16.
Right, but then it was roped off, and you had to stand way back behind those big poles that block half the screens. And like, I'm not going to go interact with a human if I don't have to, so I wasn't going to go ask like, "Hey, what's the deal with the check-in here?" That's not how I operate, even for the podcast.
Fills me with sadness. The world will blessed.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
Right. I know people really like that sports book, but yeah, something about sitting in the big empty Wild Wild West just doesn't do it for me right now. Obviously, yeah. And then we went up to your room and watched some of the Maryland game. And then, yeah, when it became very obvious that Maryland was losing that game, I was like, I'm not sitting here and being sad. I'm going to go back down and play slots and be sad.
So I guess before we talk about the gambling, or maybe we should talk about the gambling first.
Well, I did get a drink at the Carousel Bar. That was the other place I got a drink, which sort of spins intermittently. It rotates intermittently. Sometimes it'll just stop. One thing about the rotating bar is you can end up very far away from the bartender to where, you know, you're waiting for a very long time to get your drink.
Gotta wait until you rotate back.
I got a cocktail. It was one of the signature cocktails, but it had chartreuse in it, which is not in a lot of drinks. And that was very interesting, like very herbal, tasty cocktail. So that was good. The guy was like, wow, nobody's ever ordered this before. So that was interesting. But then, like, I finished that drink and I was like, I could, you know, cut myself off at this point. But then there was another cocktail on the menu I wanted to try. But then I had like 10 minutes to think about it as the bar rotated around to get back to the bartender. And I was like, I'm going to make a smart decision here and not get this cocktail. So I don't know. Saved me like $20 and probably some
pain in the morning. Yep.
So then I just went back and gambled. So, yeah, let's talk about gambling at Bally's.
Yeah.
How was your experience?
My experience was really good in terms that I just won a crap ton of money, so that was nice.
Oh, that is nice. That's very different than my experience.
Yeah.
I started by playing Huff and More Puff, which I've always had terrible luck in, and I was immediately down $60 within like 10 minutes of playing at Bally's. That feeling of just like, oh, I'm almost certainly leaving this trip down now.
Because of the $60.
It just puts you in a hole that like you'd need a huge bonus to get out of. So if you're only a slot player and you are so quickly in a hole like that and you're not playing, you know, $5 a spin, it makes it pretty hard to get out of it. I mean, I guess you're always, you know, a couple clicks away from a big bonus.
Yeah, you're always one spin away from a $100 bonus or $200 bonus, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It was not a great start. I did end up actually on the morning that we left, hit a $40 bonus on Huff and More Puff. So it is possible. I finally did it. I'm not like, you know, in love with the game or anything now, but I know everybody else loves it. You know, walked around, played a ton of slots. You played Ultimate Texas Hold'em. What else did you play? You played craps?
Yeah, I played a bunch of craps. I played a few sessions of craps. I lost money at craps. I had one pretty bad losing session, and in one session I broke even. Ultimate Texas Hold'em, I won a little bit, but not really anything to write home about. My big winners on the first night were I won a bunch of money at Heidi and Hannah's, which I think was right next to you.
Yeah.
Where I cashed out up $250, let's say, and then I won really a ton of money on Sensei Master, if you remember that.
Oh, I do.
Sensei Master.
Oh, is that one of the like Link games?
There's a Link game in the middle, and it had like all the Karate Kid looking dudes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was up over $600 on that, which was nice. Surely you remember me playing that because you came by and we were talking about it, but that's fine if you don't.
You played some other, like, that Buffalo Reel game?
That was, so then the next day, I had another huge win at 9-5 Jackpot Better, which there is one machine in the Bally's that's 9-5.
No, there's one other one. There's one random 50-cent 9-5 machine.
Okay, so there's two 9-5 machines?
Yeah.
So, I won quite a bit. I ended up getting a straight flush there, which was nice at a one outer that I hit for a straight flush, which was my first straight flush since probably, I think the last one I got was at Bally's a long time ago, probably 10 years ago. So that was good. It helped me out. So I cashed out $500 up on that machine. Yeah, then played some Buffalo Golden Sevens for a while, like a 3-reel Buffalo machine, which I thought was fun. Lost a little bit, but I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, interesting machine. Interesting bonuses, like the reels go gold or red, depending on...
Yeah, I like 3-reel machines in general, and so it was nice to see kind of a newer interpretation of that.
Yeah, there was an older, like, Buffalo Gold collection, which there's a standard video, like, Buffalo Gold collection, but there is a Reels version of that, and I really like that version, but I haven't seen it anywhere in a long time.
Yeah.
I thought the slot selection at Bally's was pretty decent.
It was decent. I was really disappointed because, you know, I was talking about how I played Wonka there for quite a while, and they had a few machines there in January, and they had no Wonka now in March, so I was sad.
They played a little bit of Wonder Woman, got to hear the song a couple times. They had the firecracker game that I played last time with my wife called Bao Zhu Zhao Fu.
Bao Zhu Zhao Fu.
And so I did at one point hit the bonus, even though the firecrackers on the one side were like very low.
Because the firecrackers mean nothing. They mean
Yeah, the
nothing.
Firecrackers mean nothing. And as I was playing it, I was like, I know that's true, but like, does anyone actually ever hit them without them
yes,
being all the way
the time.
Up? And then, yeah, so one of the two times I hit it was one of the firecrackers was only up like two rows.
Yeah. The firecrackers only exist to mess with people's minds.
Yeah. I like the bonus. It's one of those Link games, but you can get like multiple screens of the Link games. So it's cool. It's a fun game. I'll keep playing that, even though the firecrackers mean nothing. What else did we do gambling-wise? I played zero table games, which surprised no one.
Shocking.
They never opened the face-up Paigao tables when we were there. It was a Thursday to a Friday.
Yep.
All the blackjack was at least $15. The craps was 15 or 25.
15. Yep. Everything was pretty much 15. I mean, maybe some of the carnival games were 10.
So I was thinking, like, for Bally's, like, I was expecting some value gambling, but they really don't have it.
UTH was 10 when I was playing it. But, you know, it's not actually 10. It's like, whatever. A bunch of the other carnival games were putting out a lot more than that.
Apparently, I played some game called Dollar Storm Buccaneer.
That's good.
And hit a $50 bonus on it.
I remember. I was standing there.
That was another ball game. That
was a Link
like
game.
Yeah. Which started out, like, I got the bonus with some big balls right at the start. And you always like to get some big balls.
Yep.
Which usually I feel like if you get, like, that $25 ball, it's like, I'm not getting this bonus. Like, don't tease me with, oh, your first reel has three balls and one of them's the major. It's like, guess how many balls you're seeing the rest of this.
Usually that means the rest of them are going to be pirates or whatever. And the first reel means you win nothing. You're like, God damn it.
Yeah, I think Bally's really needs bubble craps. It seems like it would fit right in.
Yeah, they have bubble roulette or whatever,
electronic
right?
roulette. And it was popular. Like, there were people at both. I think they have two machines. And
electronic big wheel or whatever.
They did have electronic big wheel. That's a weird one.
I feel like they've had that machine for quite a while.
Yeah. I wish the slot selection was a little bit... I guess I'm just spoiled by how big Tropicana is, because I've been going to Tropicana, and they just have, like, so many slot machines, so...
Right, Bally's is pretty small compared to...
Yeah, like, in my head, I didn't think of Bally's as, like, a really small casino, but when you go from multiple stays at Tropicana, which is just massive, to Bally's, it really feels small when you're not gambling anywhere else. Like, I could have gone over to Caesars, that would have been very easy, I could have walked, you know, wherever, but... I just stayed home at Bally's pretty much the whole time for gambling purposes. And by the end of the night, it was like, all right, I've seen all these slot machines over and over and over again. I'm interested to see what kind of offers I get.
Yeah, I'm curious to see too.
Oh, one thing I have to mention is the parking. I parked at Bally's even though I was staying at Claridge, because parking at Claridge was going to be like 20 or 25 bucks. And I was like, oh, surely, you know, I looked up online. It said, oh, you earn free play. If you get 10 Bally's bucks, you get free parking. I was like, well, you know, it's probably similar to Caesars. I'll probably just knock that out pretty quickly. I had earned, I think, 2 Bally's bucks. So not even close in a day, you know, or a 24-hour period where I played a whole lot of slots. So it is not easy to get the free parking at Bally's. It said it was $10 with a player's card when I came in. When I left on Friday, it was $25, which I thought the city had cracked down on the, like, changing prices thing. She did ask me, like, oh, when did you come in? So I'm guessing that was for that purpose. And she was like, oh, you need the player card. And I was like, oh, well, I have the player card. And I handed it to her. And I still have an old superstar card from when I matched up. But I gave it to her thinking that she'd just give me the $10 price, not thinking she'd give me the free parking. And then she takes it and she's like, I'm going to give you the free parking, but you need a new card. It's 2025. And I was like, well, I'm not trying to, like, scam you. And she kept the card, which, and I got the free parking. So I'll trade.
That's good. It's worth.
Trade that card for 10 bucks. So thank you. I have one more of those cards. I'll try that again. I think that's my general Bally's thoughts. Do you have anything else about, I mean, this was your first Bally's stay in a long time.
Yeah, obviously, I said the room was very nice, way, way nicer than I was expecting. So if you want somewhere nice to stay, like, I think Bally's could definitely fit the bill, especially given that I didn't even have resort fees, which I don't know if it had to do with my play or the fact that I'm a superstar. Yeah, to me, I think we had a bit of opposite experience in a few different ways. So, like, I thought they were, like, quite generous with how many points I got. I think I'm basically at their second level of card now, based on points, like, whatever's before superstar. Obviously, I got matched superstar, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, I don't think I played all that much. But to me, it seemed like they were quite generous. And I think in a way that you thought they were quite not generous.
Yes. And I think two things. From obviously our extremely small sample size, it seems like they're much more generous with table games.
On table games. Right. I did play a decent bit of craps. So, and it's always kind of a crapshoot, as they say, for how you're going to get rated on craps.
And it makes me wonder if they don't rate video poker at all. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Or at least like quarter and 50 cent video poker. But I would need to play more to test that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know like you say that Resorts doesn't like video poker players and they don't really rate well. I know Ocean seems to absolutely just hate video poker players. So it's not unprecedented.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that we sort of had opposite experiences, tables versus slots, was you said that the cocktail servers were coming around
a
lot.
Yeah, I thought the cocktail service was incredible at the tables here around every 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever.
I weirdly thought that it was in the afternoon on Thursday. I saw the cocktail server way more often. And this is probably just confirmation bias because in the afternoon, I didn't actually want a cocktail.
It's foolish.
So I saw them all the time when I didn't want one.
You need to do it like me and just front load all your drinking.
Yeah. And then at night when I was playing slots and I really wanted a beer, it was really hard to find a cocktail waitress. I guess they hang around more around the table. They also seem to hit like the same sort of areas of the slot area more often than if you're sort of back in the corner as far away as you can get from the table area. And that's where the 50 cent 9-5 video poker machine is. That machine is not listed on VP Free 2, by the way. You got to just go find it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going there and you're looking for it, it's like sort of near the Wonder Woman machines along the wall that's as far away as you can get from the tables. So go look for that.
Should upload it to VP Free too. Isn't that like a wiki or whatever?
I don't know. I'm not doing that. It's too much effort. I can barely even be bothered to edit the podcast.
Fair.
What, am I going to help other people out? I'm helping them out right now by saying it. What you need to look for, it's a machine where the lowest denomination is 50 cents and all the ones around it have 25 cent denomination.
Mm.
So if you see that one with 50 cents, it's a middle machine in a row of three.
Right. Yeah. Just like the one on VP Free too, which is also just a random middle machine in the other video poker area.
So, I have to say, leaving Bally's, and even now in retrospect, I usually get some very quick nostalgia and good vibes about the trip. I don't feel the need to ever play Bally's again.
Mm. I understand that. I mean, I think if you're like more of a slot machine player, and like, you know, you are on record as someone who like does not like resorts for the same reason, you think their selection's not good, and like you don't think you're treated fairly by them for the amount of play you put in or whatever. Like, I think Bally's and Resorts are very similar, like, along those lines.
I would 10,000 times rather stay at Resorts and play at Resorts than Bally's.
Really? What's the difference between the two? Like, why is Resorts better?
It feels nicer in there. There's more table games open pretty consistently.
I will say the table game selection is quite bad at times at Bally's. So the weird thing is, like I said, I played UTH. It was in a little Carnival Games area, I guess, next to a bunch of their blackjack tables that was open Thursday afternoon. And then Thursday night, like the whole section was closed. And I'm like, why was there more games open on Thursday afternoon than Thursday night? Their table game situation is far from perfect. But as long as they have their one craps table open, which is not all the time.
It just doesn't seem as pleasant a place to play for me. Mm.
I mean, I have so much nostalgia for Bally's too, honestly. Yeah. So that could be part of it. Like, I've played at Bally's like way, way more than I've played at Resorts or probably, honestly, any other casino in Atlantic City other than maybe Caesars or Borg.
I do feel the need to go back to Golden Nugget because I think my immediate reaction to Golden Nugget was very similar to my immediate reaction to Bally's, which was like, it's small. I kind of just ran out of things to do by the end of the night.
Hmm. Well, that's why you got to spend a couple hours at the live band or whatever at the end of the Golden Nugget night, right?
Right, and they don't have that at Bally's. So
yep.
So I would be interested to see how I feel, because right now in my head, I think I would rather go to Golden Nugget than Bally's, with the exception of Bally's has the location.
Right.
Which was, it was very nice to just be able to pop over and go to the View, to pop out and go to Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. It's a very short walk to that, you know, if we wanted to go to Irish Pub. So I'm not like totally averse to staying. I mean, I doubt I wouldn't stay at Bally's and if I don't want to play there. But
right.
Like I like the location. Just the thought of having that as my home casino, I'm just like, oh, no, I don't want it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, between the location and like the fact that I'm apparently treated pretty well there, I would have no problems going back to Bally's. But I don't know. What should we do next? When's our next trip? Should we go do a one-night trip to Golden Nugget soon?
We should. I don't know when that's going to be.
Soon?
With dog here barking up a storm, getting mad.
Soon?
We'll see.
May?
Maybe.
One night?
I will say, my one other overall thought. I'm finding myself really liking the 24-hour trip.
Ah, we didn't talk about the most important part.
What?
We went to Essel's.
Oh, we did go to Essel's. You're right. How did that not make the list?
So we went on our way out of town at like 10 o'clock in the morning. We had breakfast at Essel's on, I don't know if it's on Route 40, but at least adjacent to it.
Essel's Dugout. I know we've gotten emails about it. I got the Essel's Messel, which mm-hmm. is basically just a regular breakfast sandwich, but with potatoes on it, like breakfast yep. potatoes.
Taylor ham and whatever.
I'll say it tasted good, but I will say like the texture of a sandwich with breakfast potatoes on it is exactly what you'd expect.
I don't think I would have liked it.
I should ask for like some hot sauce or something, but yeah. the flavor, like the meat and the egg and everything was good, but I don't know that I need a breakfast sandwich with yeah. breakfast potatoes on it.
And I had like basically the equivalent of whatever the Hungry Man number yeah. 2 equivalent is there. And I thought it was pretty good. I thought that most of the food was better than what you get at Gilchrist, with the exception, of course, that the pancakes were just a thousand times worse. So
yeah, that's a like, tough one.
You go to the Gilchrist for the pancakes, but like I thought the eggs were very good. I thought the breakfast meat, which I think is like usually not good at Gilchrist, to be frank, was like very, very good. The grits were good. So I enjoyed it, you know, and the pancakes were tasted like pancakes you'd get at a diner, which is, yeah, much worse than Gilchrist pancakes, which are incredible.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a cool spot. They do a lot of like Uber Eats business.
If for some reason I happened to be in that area again or like wanted to get breakfast going out of town, like I would do it again for sure. It's just like not super convenient.
Right.
Unless you happen to be leaving in the morning and want to get breakfast on the way out of town.
Yeah. And even in that case, I feel like I would usually rather just do Gilchrist or Maria's Luncheonette or something like that. So I don't know if I'll ever be back to Essel's, but I thought it was worth doing.
It was good. I thought it was good. Yeah. It's something that, like I said, if you're leaving town and want to stop outside of town for whatever reason, like 5 minutes outside of town, you can do it. Or like 25 minutes outside of town if you go whatever route Craig went to get there.
Yeah, Apple Maps took me all the way down to the like World War II Memorial or whatever it is, out to go
and
up 40 instead of
yeah.
out the expressway, as you should, which would be literally one third as long.
I was like legitimately just sitting there and like, I wonder if Craig's coming or whatever.
Yeah. As I pulled into him, the parking lot, yeah, you texted.
I texted you like, yeah, 15 minutes after I got there or whatever, like, you come in.
Did you get lost, I believe, was the text.
Oh, yeah. And the answer was kind of, I guess. Apple Maps got lost.
I mean, so you mentioned the next trip, May trip. You had talked about trying to get a bigger group going. I don't think they're going to want to do Golden Nugget if we attempt that, but.
Yeah. Well, certainly if people want to go, I think it would be a lot of fun. I don't know if people want to go or not, but
yeah, bigger group would have to be weekend, I'm almost sure.
Yeah.
Like
or,
a Friday
you know,
to Saturday maybe.
I've said that bigger group, we can go to Vegas at some point too, maybe. But if people want to do that.
I wonder how much buy-in there would be for another Vegas trip. I get the sense that people would rather do something else, but, you know, I'm of course up for Vegas.
I mean, I suggested something else and there was zero interest in it, so we'll see what people actually think. I mean, I'll do whatever.
Okay, well, we'll figure that out.
All right.
Fun trip.
Yeah.
Fun trip, I say, but also I'll never go to Bally's again.
Yep. For me, I thought the trip was really, really good. I liked all of the places we went. I really enjoy going to restaurants for like 30 to 45 minutes, which we did a bunch of.
Yeah, again, I love the happy hours. I love the deals. I will say the Park Place Prime, I thought was a standout. Just like a cool experience. Absolutely worth doing if you're staying at Caesars, if you're staying at Bally's. Like pop over there for the happy hour because it's a really cool place to sit and get a drink.
Yeah.
Get some oysters, get some appetizers. Yeah.
Well, we have to go back sometime so that we can use my lounge pass if it's wherever there on a weekend.
That's true.
Because I get free lounge for two.
Yeah, I would say Park Place Prime was probably my highlight of this one.
Yeah, I thought Park Place Prime was good. Yeah, I think it was the highlight. I'm down with that. Or I like Essel's quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually pretty skeptical of like the generic in-house restaurant sort of thing. But yeah, I thought they did a good job.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/2forwin. Find all of our great content at 2forwin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at 2forwin or me at Kyle Askin. And send Craig questions to 2forwin@gmail.com. And also, always, once, nevers.
Yes. Or we could just end always, once, never.
Yeah, we could do that too. What short-lived thing will replace it, though? That is the question.
Yeah, we had scenarios for like two episodes.
We had history. Do you remember when we were watching Boardwalk Empire for God knows how many years?
Of course.
That was at the end of the episode, but still. Yeah,
that was COVID time.
Yeah.
We had to talk about something.
Phew.
All right. Well, we'll talk to everybody in 2 weeks.
Maybe. Yeah, thank you guys so much, and we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Maybe slightly less than 2 weeks, so we can get episode 500 in on my birthday.
Oh, yeah, good point. We got to do like 13-day episode stretches. Oh, you won your own pool.
I did. Strange how that happens. Am I right? Wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.